Hello and welcome to episode 297 of the Talk Nintendo podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Casey Gibson, and joining me this fine evening in a crystal 30. That's right, it's the most beautiful boy in Boston. It's baby boy Balix.
I don't give a crap.
Wah. You have some wham burgers and some French fries?
No, it's so Perry's not here this week, which Whee! Means I can curse.
Yeah.
I can say damn. I can say heck.
We can say
And
there you go. We'll just make sure I edit that out and no one will ever know.
Well, you gotta bleep it so people gotta know that something was there.
Yeah, it'll I think we might have to use a couple bleepers there.
Oh yeah. That's a Dark Alliance Talk Nintendo episode today.
We'll have to we'll make sure Perry gets the notes to edit that out.
Yeah, we're gonna send it to him to edit.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah,
oh
Jerry,
my God.
Jerry had a little something crop up last second, so we're two man in it this week, which I guess we two manned it last week, right? And pretty much and more or less two manned it the week before.
Listen, nothing wrong with doing a podcast with my brand new husband, Casey.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. We've got the signatures and we got to send in the marriage license. So I was actually going to joke with Jerry, be like, there's still time, Perry. But he didn't even show up. So I guess there's still time, Alex.
Well, yeah, it's we mentioned last week that you were getting married. We didn't mention that I, too, was getting married last Saturday.
Yep, we read the nuptials to each other via Skype. Or actually, Zencaster.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this. Did you eat any great food at your wedding?
I did. Yep. Yeah, we got a big old Italian spread with, the chicken parm, the meatballs, this sausage, all sorts of spaghettis. It was delicious.
Very nice.
And that was the only hiccup pretty much in the whole night was that the delivery was 15 minutes late, which I could live with. If that was like the biggest, because we didn't have like a wedding planner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we were putting on the show as it was going more or less, you know? It worked out great. And like I said, the biggest hiccup, was that the food was just a tiny little bit late. But it was hot and tasty, so.
And probably pretty impressive since there was, 100 of you there?
I think it ended up closer. Yeah, so we invited, I think, like 90 total, mm-hmm. and then we ended up with just over 60, which, honestly, like 95%, if not more. Well, yeah, I guess with my family being local, like probably like 90% of the wedding was imported, you know what I mean? They were flying down or whatever, traveling up. So we figured there'd be a decent amount of people who just, couldn't make it. So, but honestly, for me, 60 was perfect. I don't like that many people, you know?
Yeah, and we're in a similar boat where we invited like 95, I think, and she's from Texas, so there's Texas, Massachusetts, so there's a lot of people coming from across state. But I totally get it. It's the kind of thing where like, if 90 people go, that's great, but more realistically, when 65 people go or 70, whatever, it's like, there'll be enough. It's I'm sure that with 60 people there, you got to have FaceTime with most of the people there that you wanted to who were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, with having to make the rounds, less people, you know. And it's like, I mean, there are people who are like, they get the invite, but it's like, honestly, like, I don't care if you come or not, you know. Like, I wouldn't tell that person to their face, you know. But it's
he's not on the show this week,
yeah,
so.
That's funny. But yeah, so it was one of those just like, I was happy with the people that showed up. There was a handful of people that would have been nice if they could have made it. Gentlemen. No. But like I said, I totally get it's hard to travel. And especially like you've got your own wedding. Perry's now got two kids, which is still crazy to think about.
Yeah. Still not 30 or turning 30.
Yeah, he's
like Perry's like a 45-year-old.
Yeah. Perry's like, "Yep, I took out a second mortgage on my house. My 24th birthday is tomorrow." He's like, oh man, Perry.
Last week I was explaining to him that he's basically a 40-year-old despite being 29. And like, he has like that light gray in his beard too, so he kind of looks like it, but he had no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, well, you gotta remember, this is a guy who had never heard the Thong Song before in his life, so he's a little sheltered.
That's true. Ooh, that dress so scandalous, and you know I never couldn't handle it. So you're shaking that thing like who's the ish, with a look in your eyes so devilish. You like to dance on the hip-hop spots, and you cruise to the cruise, like connect the dots. Not just urban, she liked the pop, cause she was living la vida loca. She had dumps like a truck, 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 thighs like what, what. Baby, move your butt, butt, butt. I think I'll sing it again. She had dumps like a truck, 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 thighs like what, what, what. All night long, let me see that thong.
And then I love when he turns it around to make it like, I'm the weird one for knowing this song. And it's like, dude, you were alive in the 90s and the early 2000s. How had you not heard that song? Even if it was like facetiously and you didn't like it, you know, like, because I don't think Perry or someone like Josh would be fans of the Thong Song. It'd be too vulgar for their poor little prude police people. But anyway, thanks, Jerry.
To be fair, Perry doesn't know most cultural references.
Yeah,
we love him, but he doesn't know most of them.
Who's Sephiroth? That's pretty good too, because he's dying on the hill that he's not like one of the most well-known villains in the entire video game world, you know, and he's dying on the hill.
Yeah, he's alone. Sephiroth's not well-known.
Yeah, he's alone on that hill, but he's dying on it. But
yes,
but
sir.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm trying to think, plenty of good like food all week, because Kate's brother, he's in the military, so he's in Japan. So he came like, I guess, a week and a half before the wedding and then stayed like a week and a half after. Mm. And by the graces of God, somehow he didn't test positive for any COVID or anything. So he was able to skedaddle. But yeah, it's nice to have the house back to myself, you know.
That's good.
Because I don't have a very big apartment, you know. And like, her brother-in-law, my brother-in-law, I guess I should say, and her brother, he's super cool, you know, but it's just like we have one couch and like, and we had so much crap for the wedding. He's like, he had to crash on the couch. We couldn't even set up like the air mattress, you know? So it was just cluttered.
Well, that's kind of a thing with like, I'd say even if it's just you and Kate, after a number of years, it's probably just like, sometimes you just need to find your own space once in a while. And when a third person's in there, it becomes like impossible.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like fell asleep at like 9:30. On my bed one. I was just like, I need to like just stretch out for a minute, and then I ended up falling asleep. But yeah, so I hadn't been playing too many games, but I did get to play some more Switch Sports in a pretty, I'd say, ideal situation.
Are we snapping that in?
Well, I shouldn't jump the gun. I guess I jumped your Dark Arts situation.
That's okay. I don't have that much. I got Domino's last week for the first time in a few months. Domino's might be, behind McDonald's, the single most consistent... Actually, I'd say even ahead of McDonald's, Domino's might be the most consistent fast food restaurant chain. You get the exact thing you asked for from Domino's. Nothing better, nothing worse. Pretty much every single time, at least in my experience.
Yeah, it has definitely been a hot minute since I've gotten any Domino's, but I can attest to that. I feel like, yeah, if you're getting your bread bowl, you know exactly what it's going to look and taste like. You know, you're getting the deep dish pizza medium in the black box.
Yep. That's, you know, the best exactly one.
Oh, it's so good. My friend, I forgot when he turned me on to that, but I was just like, oh my God, that, like, Domino's pizza is fine. You know, it's like, like, I like it when I'm in the mood for it, you know, but that deep dish, that's a game changer. Did you get the deep dish?
Absolutely. I got I did pepperoni black olive, which is usually one of my classics. I always like to add something resembling a vegetable to it, just so it feels like a little bit more wholesome.
I feel a little less guilty.
I'm normally in favor of the local family-run pizza chain over the national chain, because in New England, tons of like amazing Greek pizzerias just all over the place. However, Domino's pan pizza with the pepperoni is so good that it competes. It's different. It's kind of like McDonald's versus like a nice dad burger.
Yeah, real
but
burger.
It competes.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. Like, if you were in the mood for like real authentic pizza, Domino's isn't gonna cut it, you know. But if you're right. in the mood for just like a quick slice, you know, like, ooh, maybe I want to eat almost a full pie to myself, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to do that. Then you're slapping down on the medium.
Get that $6.99 medium. Maybe the cheesy bread, right?
Oh, well, see, that's like there's a Marco's chain by me. And I would say they are similar to Domino's.
Okay.
In terms of food and just everything. Like, they're pretty similar. Good pizza. You know, like I said, not going to knock your socks off, but like it's good. But they always like, they're like, hey, take this survey. We'll give you a free cheesy bread.
Mm-hmm.
Like no qualms. You know what I mean? And I also, I'm in there. There's one like right at the top of my road. So it's our go-to when we're feeling lazy and not cooking, but also lazy where we don't want to leave that, you know, too far from the house. So all of a sudden, like every once in a while, they just give me like a $10 coupon and I'm like, oh baby, we're getting free pizza. And then that erases the biggest problem I have with ordering from a Domino's or like that kind of place is I always want the pizza and some of those little chicken kickers, you know what I mean? Or like the boneless wings, whatever they call them. Oh
yeah.
But then you're looking like now you're going from a cheapish meal to like all of a sudden now I'm spending 20 plus, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, I feel like if you get delivery, you're not spending less than $20, like, ever, on anything. Mm-hmm. And in fact, like, in Boston, at least, with the Uber Eats life, it's like, even McDonald's is just $30. It's just what you got to accept around here. Ooh.
Dude, I spent yesterday. So now, my new work schedule will be Tuesday to Saturday. So mm-hmm. I have Sunday, Monday off for the summer. Which is nice, because I always appreciate a good day off when everyone else is working, you know?
Yep.
Feels like you're cheating the system, you know? But yesterday I was, I thought about getting up early and going and snagging some donuts, but I slept in a little bit. And then, you know, a couple hours later, my want for the donuts didn't dissipate. So I did indeed order some Dunkin's delivery. And now I did the assortment and I picked out what donuts I want. I'm excited about. I come here and they give me the biggest sloppy jalopy freaking random assortment you've ever met in your life. They put two completely plain donuts in the assortment. I'm like, now not only
that's whack.
Yeah, I'm like, not only are you completely ignoring my request for all these donuts, you slap in two plain Janes. Like, come on, that's ridiculous. But anyway, I went to Grubhub and I was like, they got this wrong, and then they just credited me $13 back. So I was like, okay, I don't feel so bad. But I was a little upset. I was a little upset.
Yeah, understandably. Dunkin', now that's a place that varies wildly in my experience in the quality of order you get. At least in Massachusetts where they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe it's different there's only a few.
Well, it's funny because there's one that's pretty close to me. And then there's one, I guess, I mean, I would say it's further away, but maybe by mile, you know, it might be pretty comparable, I guess, because you just jump on the highway. But yeah. They did deliver it from the one I would not have normally have picked. So I don't know. Maybe it's an issue with that Dunkin'. But either way, it was like Monday at freaking like 11 o'clock. You can't slap in the donuts I asked for, you know? Sheesh.
Right.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Yep. Anyway. Then I yacked my brains out in the morning. Was it the donuts? Was it the Mexican? Who's to say?
Who's to say? But you know what we are to say.
Well, I was going to say, I tell you, sure, it wasn't those plain donuts because they're still sitting in the box. But anyway.
They're not bad. I mean, I understand not eating them out of spite, but there's a little vanilla cinnamon thing going on in those. That's okay.
They're going to be, I mean, I ordered 12 donuts for myself, you know?
Yeah.
And like Caitlin has some too, but on average, I'm probably eating 9 of the 12 donuts, so I'll probably get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're going to be the last two, and I'm not going to be super happy about them.
Do you drink coffee?
I do. Yeah, do a little dunk.
I think that's the one really good utility of those.
Yeah, it pairs nicely.
Yes, but as I was attempting to segue you know what? I forget I was even segueing from, but here's what we have in store for this episode. We have like two segments because Perry's not here.
That was a beautiful segue.
Just stumbling over my words. This week, I played half the games from the Indie Direct because I was sent codes for them. And then, Casey, you've been playing stuff, I'm sure.
And then, all right. So I'll start off here because I do have something to talk about. But
and then poll time. We got like two poll times to make up for it. So
double the poll. It's always better with two polls, they say.
Yeah, just like our marriage.
Okay, so it's been weird, right? Because I've been trying to think of like a good game to play. And then it's just been like, right, so the wedding and all that comes with the pre and the post wedding. Like, oh, I got that. So the wedding was Saturday, right? So it was like Friday morning. I was or like Thursday, we had to get people from the airport. Friday morning, we're running around shopping. We're picking up like the chairs and linens and stuff. So and then Saturday's the wedding. Sunday's like break it all down. Monday's return all it. So it's just been like crazy, right? So it was like, I don't know what to play. Like I sort of want to jump into something juicy, but it, you know, time was not of the essence. Time was not on my side, I guess I should say here. So it was like just putzing around. Like, yeah, I played some Switch Sports. I've been playing a bunch of Mario Golf on N64, but I just haven't found that juicy game. So now that we're sort of post the wedding, I'm hoping. And I've still, even, it was annoying this past weekend. I was like trying to figure out what I wanted to play. And I was like, God dang it, I don't know. And I still don't know. The good thing is maybe poll time will help with that. But before we get into poll time, as you were alluding to before, I guess I'll kick it off with this long-winded intro here. I'll kick it off with Switch Sports. It sucks. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, my turn.
Yeah. Don't buy it. No, so I picked this game up, right? Mostly because I knew there were going to be people over, and what better time to play it, right? And I knew, like, at absolute worst case, I was going to be like, oh, yeah, like, bowling's fun. You know, these games are fun. And they are. I still haven't played soccer yet, but we did get to play, like, tennis and volleyball four-player, which was cool. Except, let me tell you the stupidest thing I have ever seen.
Please.
Ever.
Yes.
All right. So you and me are playing tennis, let's say against Perry and Jill, right?
And all in the same room?
Yeah. We're all in the same room. We're all hanging out, having a great time. And now you and me are on a team. We're playing Perry and Jill. How do you think they should split the screens?
Horizontally, right? And you want like, so you want the 16x9, you want the 16 length on both sort of splits, right?
Yeah, like two split, like one split, yeah, horizontally, so you've got a top and a bottom, right? That works perfectly for tennis, volleyball, anything of the sort. No. They had it broken up into fours, which is annoying, but okay. But here's the thing, you and me are on a team, and ours are stacked left on the left side. And then theirs were stacked on the right side. So, you know what I mean? On a volleyball game. I was like, what is going on? Like, why would they ever... Why would... I don't care if it was like, oh, well, I'm the first controller and you're the third controller. So, no. If we're on the same team, why the heck wouldn't we be on the same... You know what I mean? Like, oh, we could just see our side of the court perfectly on the bottom of the screen. And they can see their top, you know? I couldn't believe it, actually. I was like, and there was like six people, so we did do some like control trade-offs, you know? And I was just like, this is so stupid. Like, why would it ever default to this? Why would it even be an option, you know? Like, ugh.
So it double splits? So it's like four boxes. Quadrants?
Yep, four quadrants. And then like you and me on the same team on the same side of the court are stacked 1 and 3, like, you know what I mean? If you're thinking a traditional, like, top left is your first player, top right is your second, bottom left, third, right?
Mm-hmm.
why would that ever happen?
That's disgusting.
I was just like actually like dumbfounded. I was like, man, I feel like Nintendo just spit in my face.
Well, they did playtesting for sure. So it's like, what made them reach that conclusion is the correct way to do it.
Yeah, and like I've been now thinking about, it's like, oh, well, maybe it is like the first and third controller and it just always defaults to that. But that is still stupid because it should just not cut into four quadrants if you're all sharing like in the same room, you know? I understand, obviously, right? Like maybe that would make more sense on the online situation. Even though I still think it should just split down the middle, you know, and then just have a top and bottom. But anyway, yeah, it was real stupid and I don't like it. But the gameplay is pretty fun. We played more volleyball. It is definitely just a real big timing situation. It's just like how you get the velocity on the ball. It really matters how the timing is. The biggest, I'd say, agency you sort of have while playing volleyball, which is cool, is when you're trying to block the spike. Because you have actually, you can use your Joy-Con, like the, you know, the analog stick, whatever, to move around. And then you can sort of try and get in front. And then again, it is timing it to jump up and block it. But it is real satisfying when you do get that block. And overall, I think if you have people to play with, like locally, it's super fun. It definitely gives off, the classic Wii Sports vibe, right? But with like, you know, prettier aesthetic around it. I like the little mall like facade you're in where like all the courts and matches sort of take place in this big sort of open mall type situation. And the characters are cool. I guess another gripe I would say is that they really don't give you a lot of customization options up early. You do unlock a lot of it by playing. Unfortunately, it's gotta be online modes, right? So all the playing we did locally didn't, you know, sort of work towards unlocking any new items, which sort of sucks too, because like, you know, we played a couple hours, you know, would have probably gotten a bunch more stuff. But yeah, so in the beginning your character's gonna look nothing like you. Like they don't even have a bald top default. You know, they gotta make me think I've got hair. But
wait, there's no, for the amount of grown millennials playing this game, you're telling me there's no bald option?
Not off the get-go. You must have to unlock it. Like, oh, congratulations. You've unlocked the bald dome you have in real life. And it's like, oh,
well, it's kind of optimistic, or I guess, or it's like, it's very hopeful of them to, like, put it on a pedestal in that way, right?
No. This is a thing you want. Yeah, congratulations.
This is real masculinity.
But yeah, I mean, overall, the sports games are fun that I have played. Bowling, I still think, is real fun. I think, and the best thing about it is you could play simultaneously, but you can also still do like the traditional pass the controller. So it makes a good sort of party game, right? Like, oh yeah, like, you know, every couple minutes I throw a turn and I can BS with people, which is nice. I guess, real quick, too, we also got a little Mario Party Superstars in. Sheesh, a lot of Super Mario Party names and things. So we did another match, which was fun. Again, we did sort of, there was six of us, so we did like Kate and I were a team, two of my other friends were a team, and then two solos. And yeah, again, love that game. I really, really, really wish that they would support like Mario Party after launch, like some of these other games they do. It seems like, you know, it would be perfect, even if it was like a, hey, 3 months after the game came out, hey, if you want to, you buy two more maps, you know, like, or even, I mean, that might even be too much, quote unquote, but like two maps and 20 new mini games for $10 or something, you know, or maybe it's one and 10 new games for $7.99 or whatever the heck it is. I mean, it'd be great if it was for free, but even if you had to pay, I think like, getting a new board in a Mario Party game, I feel like, is super significant, you know? So yeah, it would be something that people would be, you know, more inclined to pay a couple bucks if it was like, hey, you're going to get like this, a bunch of mini games, and you could play it online with your friends, you know?
Here's a question. Is five boards like five or six? Is that standard for these games?
I think so. I would have to look back. And now the complaint would be like Super Mario Party, right? The newest original one that came out to the Switch, that's you play with the Joy-Cons. I think there was only four or five boards on there, but they were small. They're small. You like the levels, they didn't have a lot of spaces. You roll, like, you get through them quick. You know, they didn't feel like they were big and meaty, where some of the older ones actually, you know, if you play like the shortest game possible, you might only go around it once or twice. You know what I mean? Like it feels like you're getting more bang for your buck, because it's not just like, oh, I'm going down the same path over and over. There is more branching. It takes longer to get around. So I think the complaint wasn't like as bad, or maybe the complaint wasn't there as loud as like the newest one, where it really was like, it felt like you didn't get a lot because the boards were small and there weren't a lot of them, you know, where at least like the other ones, like, hey, here are, you know, maybe not like a huge number of boards, but they're at least, you know, they've got some meat and potatoes to them.
Right. Right. Okay. That makes sense. I intended to play the game with you guys, but I've only played a single game on my copy of Mario Party Superstars and have no frame of reference when you make any critique about it.
Yeah, I would say, because you never played any, right? That was your first Mario Party game, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I just, it's something about the board game thing never appealed to me, independent of, like, not playing multiplayer that much, so I guess...
I would just say the biggest comparison, what I would say, like the old and the new, quote unquote, would be the old game, bigger boards, more punishing, quote unquote, things cost more. A star's mm-hmm. 20 coins, and you get 10 from winning a mini game, but like if you get second place in the mini game, you don't get any coins usually. Like there are a few games where more people get coins, but generally speaking, it's like, hey, you either win or you lose, you know, where like in the newer ones, it's like, oh, you won, here's 8 coins, oh, you got second, here's like a couple coins, you know, and everyone, like, it just waters down, like when everyone gets coins and then a star only costs 10 coins, you know, it just seems watered down, you know,
right,
in compared to the other ones. But yeah, one of these days we'll have to get Jerry and you and me and somebody else to get a little game going.
I'll tell you something that's gonna make it easier to play on multiplayer is that my current Wi-Fi is not good. It's 200 megabits right now, and like I think I have an old router, so it hitches up all the time. But we're closing on the house Thursday, and then Saturday we're having Verizon Fios come by to put in a gigabit, and I'm very, very excited about that, because I think for the first time in my life. Because, like, in the city, you only get,
you're
going like,
to be
Xfinity.
A gigillionaire.
Yeah, exactly, though. No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I forget the exactly the setup, but all I know is they're just like, our first gigillionaire. It's Balix.
I guess in that sense, I am the first gigillionaire. How fast is your Wi-Fi?
I don't know offhand, but I've never had an issue.
Do we think Perry's still rocking like a 56K modem?
He's like, I finally got AOL. Dude, oh.
You got mail.
It's, oh man, what a trip to think. That used to be like the bee's knees. Like, oh baby, we got to get on AIM. I got to talk to the girl I like from class, or at least look at her away message.
I'll tell you, I forget why, but for some reason, I think maybe for wedding pictures or something, your Facebook maybe came up, and I clicked on your Facebook, and then I saw, like, in your information, you had an AIM there, and I'm like, damn, I really wish, like, I know Discord's better, I know Facebook Messenger's better, I know Steam Chat's better, but I miss AIM, I miss away messages.
Back. I was gonna say,
I miss saying hey to people you barely know from school.
Well, I remember when Facebook Messenger, like, became a thing, and I was like, that's the stupidest thing in the whole world. You've got AIM. Why would we ever need that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then all it did was like, nope, you just, now we eliminate the middleman of having to try and find out that girl or guy's screen name, you know? It's like, oh, I just look up their name.
Yeah.
But now you got me looking. There it is. Cool Kid 14,000.
Mine was DJ Kalafi 191.
mine used to be Hotshot way back in the day. It was like Hotshot 14,000. And then my Ooh. Neighbor found out my password. And I was like, oh, shoot, I got to change this thing. And I changed it to some sort of something that I forgot. And then being however old I was at the time, like, instead of trying to, like, I guess, use a, you know, email to recover the password, I just like, oh, I guess we're switching over to Cool Kid, boys. And we've been there ever since.
Nice.
That's so funny that that is on there. But yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, no fiber? They don't have fiber up in Boston?
I don't know. Internet's so weird. Like, it could be an option, but in my experience, it's like RCN and Xfinity, which are both like kind of...
Yeah, I've got Xfinity down here.
Yeah. Xfinity only, like, comes up in places where there's almost no choice. I feel like that's when Xfinity is a thing, is when, like, you have no... It's like the Eversource or whatever, like, an electric company you use just of the internet. That's how it feels.
Mm. I'm doing my internet test right now, so we'll see. What's your megabytes per second download?
Megabytes per second, it's 200.
Oh, okay, mine's 100 with 11.4 up.
I'm guessing you guys, how much do you pay for internet a month?
I don't know, because it's wrapped in with the TV too. Oh, whoops. Can't be cursed. I forgot we're recording a podcast.
See, the thing is, with you, one of them is not going to make it through. Yeah, like, well, the one of the bleeps. And then Perry's like ears are going to be tainted forever.
Well, the first one, we'll definitely have to get rid of that one. So this one right around 31 minutes. All right, we'll make the note for the fine folks.
We'll make the note, but I'm doing the air quotes right now.
But yeah, I don't know exactly, but they did tell me that your internet connection is very fast.
That's nice of them.
Thanks, guys. I will pay extra for fast internet because I use it all the time. So it's like, you know, where between streaming and gaming or whatever it is, it's like, yep, give me the fastest you got.
Yep.
But I guess what was, oh, I have one more game, but I've been talking game wise for a minute here, and you got a bunch. If you want to, we can jump over to some of yours.
You can do yours
now.
Wrap
it up. All right. We're going to wrap it up with some Mario Golf. Yeah, that is the Mario Golf on the Nintendo Switch, but not the crappy one. Ooh. Not the one that you throw in the dirt and you wish you never bought. It's the one you get for free if you're on Perry's family plan for the Nintendo 64. I don't know exactly why I started playing this. I think I was in that, like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't want to, like, jump into, like, a big beefy game. So, like, why don't we just play a little golf? I could play one match and, you know, hang it up there or keep on going. So we started playing, and actually me and David, which is Caitlin's brother, we played a bunch of it. What a great game. So it's just golf, you know. At the end of the day, it's pure as the driven snow, just a little golf game. And you start out with a handful of characters, and you unlock them by playing match play. And they unlock in order, so, like, you can either do a tournament or match play. They have, like, ring shot and some of those other, like, fun modes, but I haven't messed with them too much. I've just been doing the tournaments and the characters matches to sort of unlock more courses and some more characters, because in the beginning, you know, you start with, like, Baby Mario and a few other characters that don't really hit the ball too far, you know? And then now I'm starting to get, like, I forgot if we unlocked Wario or if I'm playing him in the match, but like, you know, he's hitting it 250 or 260 instead of like 210. So that helps insane amounts, right? Like it makes those par fives unreachable. Originally now, you know, you're hitting them in two and having a chance for an eagle and a big hole, which is nice. But it's just so good. It's not too fancy. You know, they're not trying to church it up. It's just say, hey, here's a beautiful game of golf. Go play. And I guess the one thing that I do miss from what I'm assuming, I guess, would probably be from Toadstool Tour, which is the GameCube version, is the ability to put backspin and topspin on it. So like most golf games, right, you sort of have a meter, you hit A and it starts sliding to the left. Then you're going to hit A again, and that'll be like how hard you hit it. And then you got to try and sort of, when it comes swinging back on the meter, like try and hit it within the zone so it's accurate, right? And that's, you know, most games, golf games, I feel like have some sort of mode like that, where now this one doesn't have it. But like if you hit double A when you're coming back for the accuracy, it would put top spin on it. Or if you hit like double B, you know, BB, it puts some backspin on there just to give you a little bit more control around the green. So I guess that would be the only thing I feel like missing from this game that was added on, you know, in future installments that, you know, would be the thing like, oh, I sort of wish it had that. But the game plays well without it. It is hard because they throw, when you get into these tournaments and stuff, like big crazy winds, rain, and like the rain really affects the ball quite a bit. So you're almost hitting up a club or two of power when it's raining. Some of these gusts of winds, like I said, 20 mile an hour in your face, but sometimes it helps you, you know, it's at your back and then you can really, you know, kill the ball, which is cool too. So I think anyone that's got the free, you know, or quote unquote free, if you're part of the family plan or you just upgraded to the, you know, get the N64 games and all that, definitely worth checking. Even if you don't love golf, it's cool enough and easy enough to jump in, play a match and see what it's all about. And I promise you, you will enjoy it more than Super Rushed.
Yeah, there's definitely an appeal to a nice meat and potatoes boomer-esque video game, right? Although you gotta wonder, I guess anyone with kids should tell us on the Discord, like when you've sort of shown your kids like N64 games or like Super Nintendo games, have you had a positive reaction or have they been bored? Like that would be something I'd be curious about, because you're telling me. Could be a good
poll. Although I guess it's not necessarily. Well, I mean, I guess you could boil it down to like liked it, didn't like it, you know, kind of thing. But yeah. I think that would be good. We have a couple of parents, I believe, on the Discord. Hopefully they can chime in for us, because it is true, right? Because I know people have that debate, right? Where it's like, I'm going to start my kids on the NES and they can work their way up. I tell you what. And it's like, ugh, I get that. But like, come on now. At least start with the Super Nintendo.
You know what that sets you up for? That sets you up for the crushing, like, heartache when you realize that for the most part, video games are actually better now than they were back then.
Yeah. How to get your kid to not enjoy your hobby 101. You're going to start out on the Atari.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's funny. Because it's really the golf games, man, like just thinking about like from N64 to Toadstool Tour to like, and I know there's some Game Boy ones, but I'm thinking like more the 3D ones and then into like a World Tour for 3DS. It's like each one was so good and continued to get better. And then my God, what happened? Oh, God, it just pisses me off, man. I was ready for that. World Tour, like what an amazing game, and then they poop out this thing. Ugh.
I'm worried about, I know that it's not made by Camelot, but I'm worried about Mario Strikers a little bit, not because it doesn't look good, but because we haven't heard anything about a single player mode, like at all. And I know that the original ones didn't really have that much of a single player edge, but if it's like Mario Tennis or Mario Golf on Switch, where it's just like the most bare bones package you've ever seen.
What do you
mean? But like an okay multiplayer.
A full fledged single player campaign.
Was it like 2 hours long, like the tennis one was?
It was the dumbest Well, I stopped playing the single player campaign when they're like, hey, you're going to hit this ball to whatever hole you want, which is sort of a cool concept, right? It was like, hey, mm-hmm. here are however many holes, you've got X amount of strokes to sort of complete them all or whatever it is. And it's like, oh, okay, that's sort of cool. But then it's like, but also there's like four different crags you need to climb after you hit the ball. And since this is a golf game without platforming, good luck, you know? And it's like, you got to like go in a big tornado thing and it like shoots you up in the air. It's so dumb. I would like to take whoever made the game and just shake them a little bit, you know, like why? Boy. So I'm having a big old Red Bull. So I'm like, I'm all fired up right now.
I can tell. So should I get into a couple games?
Yeah. Calm me down. Bring me back in, Alex.
Yeah. I've been playing a bunch of stuff. In fact, what's so new? Much that I'm not actually the Steam Deck is what's new. That's why I've been going insane on my video game time. Like, I'm not even going to talk about like Shadow Warrior, which is like kind of a boomer shooter, like a first person shooter where like you're shooting guns and swinging samurai swords, not samurai swords. You're kind of a ninja. And that's like a Devolver game. And then I've been playing Shadow Warrior 3, which is the sequel to that. And it's on PlayStation Now. And then I just beat Metal Gear Rising, but I'm not talking about any of those because Nintendo just did one of their Indie World presentations. One of the games was sent to me that I didn't request, which I'll talk about first. One of them I did request because I was interested in it. And then another one is a game whose embargo lifts 2 days from now and is not out yet. First one I'm going to talk about is Soundfall. I'm guessing you didn't get a chance to watch the Indie World.
I watched some of it actually live, but I didn't watch all of it. I'm pulling up the games you're talking about, though. So I vaguely remember like seeing some screenshots, this one. Because it's sort of almost, from the pics, right? It's almost sort of like a Zero Hyper Light that, I don't know, that's the vibes it's looking at real quick, but maybe not.
I'd say it's got more of like, not Diablo, but it feels like a game that's inspired by Diablo, almost.
Okay. Oh, so you're killing a lot of enemies?
Yeah, you're killing a lot of enemies. It's got that top-down, vaguely isometric look to it. Sort of angled like a twin-stick shooter, but the angle on this... It's very pretty. The angle on this is that it's a rhythm game. Where there's a soundtrack of like 100 games and it's all sort of fit into a campaign, but there's also a free play mode. Each song is a different level. And the beats per minute of the song, there's like sort of a ticker, like a metronome that when the sort of ticker lines up, like Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer, you shoot, you dodge. And when you shoot on beat, your hits are worth twice as much. When you dodge on beat, you're able to dodge. So it's very much about being able to listen to the beat of the music. And
did
then
you did you play the Crypt Necro Dancer?
The one that's not based on Zelda?
Either of them. I'm just trying to think of any reference of like how this could potentially play with the beat and like trying to time it up like that.
It's almost the exact same thing, at least in principle, where being on beat is like you need to do it or you're not gonna have a good time.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cause it feels like clunky almost, right? Like the idea is supposed to sort of get into the movement almost, like it's almost like a dance, right? Like just about how you attack and move and stuff.
Yeah,
at least that's how Crypt Dance or whatever the heck it's called felt.
Kind of deliberately clunky if you're not playing on beat, but in theory you're vibing with the game as you're sort of playing. And each song has its own dedicated level. There's a story mode, but the story there isn't much to write home about. Girl falls into like Symphonia, I think some like magical world. When she's listening to music, she's gotta deal with some strife, get back to her home world. But it's just a framing to put like the songs as each level. Like world one is like kind of more electronic music, and I think Like, there's a lava world that's, like, more, like, heavy metal, like, rock music, and there's a ska world that I think is, like, more two.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of like rhythm guitars, you're on a beach. And then each world has its own environment. Each level, you're doing, like, a shooter where you're trying to kill a bunch of enemies. You can pick up loot that's different rarity, which kind of gives it that Diablo vibe. But it's kind of a mixed sort of result, at least in my opinion. On handheld, I didn't have to tweak anything at all from the millisecond delay. Everything ran perfectly. Though Lemonade said that on TV he had a kind of a hard time. Mm. So the level design is very stagnant, I find, where you're going through levels, you're killing enemies in arenas, and you're vibing to the music, and the vibing part's great, because, like, when you're shooting enemies and the song's good, like, that's really nice. Like, if you're, like, jamming to the song and you're playing at the same time, it feels really good. But after a handful of levels, you're like, every level looks the same, all these weapons feel mostly the same and have, like, kind of the same impact, other than whatever numbers are on the better weapons, and then some elemental effects. There's not much enemy variety from, like, all the levels I've played. And between worlds, there are some, like, stage hazards that change. But for the most part, it is, like, the same game for, like, 100 levels. And I only played the first world and some free play to get, like, a taste. But in my experience, it stays stagnant. And Lemonade's experience seems to be, like, fairly close to that. He played more on his own time. And then my other problem, I don't really like it, but other people might like it. A lot of the songs that I've played feel like ripoffs of other songs, almost like the royalty-free version of a bunch of different songs.
The Kidz Bop version?
Yeah. So Kidz Bop is kind of its own... almost like... God, I should actually, like, send you a song. I won't, because you won't click on it, and I'm not going to send it. But one of the songs is, for example, Shipping Up to Boston. Like, it's an Irish sort of punk sound. It's
your theme song.
It is. It absolutely is. I love that song so much. I have seen Dropkick Murphys live twice.
Good old Departed, baby.
Yeah, no, that's a signature song. It's kind of like how All Star is is a Shrek song.
Yep.
Like, Shipping Up to Boston's a Departed song.
Yeah, that is so true. What a great song.
It is. But there's, like, it's like they're clearly trying to do the riff of Shipping Up to Boston, but have it not sound like that. Level two, I think, is basically, like, the riff of... I'm not, like, a music guy, so I'm saying riff to sort of stand in for a lot of different stuff.
Perry's
of, like, yeah. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5, which I love that song, too. But it's kind of, they're doing, like, an electronic piano knockoff of that. The next one's, like, clearly trying to be Meghan Trainor. The one after that is trying to be, like, Ariana Grande. Mm. And there's 100 songs, so I'm sure some of them maybe sound original, but it's been a trend. And because I'm annoyed by how, like, not that original the soundtrack sounds, it feels like maybe, I don't want to say, like, it's lacking integrity, because maybe this was the right move for, like, a small indie game. But to me, it's just like, I wish it had a little more confidence. But at the same time, I shouldn't say that, because the story is complimenting the songs you play all the time. They're like, oh, this sounds like Blondie and Paramore put together. I love this song. And I'm like, this is the script of the game, in the form of a character telling me how much it loves the song, which I don't know. It's a little goofy, but even like, that's not, like, a huge problem. Like, some people might want a Jackson 5 knockoff or Shipping Up to Boston knockoff, but it's just, the gameplay doesn't change at all. And, like, the first world, which I did play the entirety of, it all looks exactly the same. And I've seen a couple reviews that seem to be in the exact same place with it, or at least a similar place. But
so you're really going to have to love the gameplay to really see this one through. And even then, it might be a stretch.
Yeah, vibing with the songs is like definitely fun. Like it's, you can get a good like rhythm bounce going as like you're playing like a song and you're into it and you're into the gameplay. But it kind of fades after a while when the novelty is goes away and it's like not increasing much. Mm. But that's all I want to say about Soundfall because I got two other games to discuss. Next one was announced, I think, during the montage in the Indie World Direct. There's another one which I've had on my Steam wish list forever called Opus Echo of Star Song. Opus Gangnam Style.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Opus Gangnam Style. Good old Psy.
Yes, sir. This is kind of like a visual novel style adventure game, but it's more like, okay, here's the pitch for it. Compared to a Steins Gate where you're just watching screens and text and voice acting. I know you haven't played Kentucky Route Zero, but Kentucky Route Zero is kind of the same thing where it's like very easy adventure game gameplay where you're kind of walking around, clicking on things, picking up some background detail, and then the story continues. It's kind of like a laid-back adventure game that could kind of be called a more involved visual novel. So it's, you're doing more than that. Anyways, it is an adventure game that takes place in a world that I think could be best compared to like Dune or like Star Wars, maybe, where there's this, there's sort of a resource called, I think, Lumen. And then a bunch of people fight over it. And then a company wins the mining rights. And then there's more warring. And then the company who like has mining rights is like, people are going to keep killing each other. So now they introduce like a more open sort of mining system. But there's a lot of complexities in this world because there are like dominant classes. There's nobles. There are sort of complicated relationships between different sort of groups of people based on the war. And what it sort of turns into is this very interesting, touching sort of story that is like an indie visual novel, but has the scale of like a Star Wars or a Dune, which is very fascinating. The game sort of starts you out as an old man, probably about 80 years old, I'd say. And he's sort of the leader of his clan, and he has like a cane. And he goes onto this planet by himself. And the one of his sort of guys is like, sir, like you're an elder. You're the clan leader. You've put in your time. You don't need to do this expedition. And he's like, I'm going to do the expedition. I'm going to find this girl who he hasn't seen in decades. And there seems to be maybe a love story attached to that. And then after that, the game pulls you back 60 years where you sort of meet this girl, Ada, who has magic power. She's kind of a witch, I think, but in like a weird way that she has some ability to track this resource. And then there's the main character whose name I can't remember at the moment. And then they sort of go on a few adventures and you sort of see how their story plays out and you see sort of the history of this world. And I've only played like an hour and a half, so I haven't seen the story reach like any sort of crescendo, but I have seen the gameplay evolve quite a bit. Sort of after the introductory hour and a half, you start to get the ability to sort of tweak your ship. There's resource management, so it feels a little like Mass Effect in that way, even though it's very light. You're going around planets, you're collecting resources, you're watching the story go along, you're seeing little things play out. And based on Steam reviews, it seems like it's probably going to be about 10, 12, 15 hours long.
Beefy.
Which is beefy, but I think like pretty fair and reasonable. And then also like impressive for a small game with like very, very pretty art to try to capture this story. And it is like Sugono is the developer. I don't know where they're from, though my guess is that they're a Chinese or Japanese developer because the voice acting is only available in Chinese or Japanese. And they seem to have done a bunch of other games in this series. But anyways, it's really cool. I look forward to playing more of this. Unlike Soundfall, I think I will play this one more.
Well, it's nice, yeah, that at least the gameplay like or evolving, right? Instead of just sort of same old shtick.
Yeah, I think if you like a good sort of indie adventure game with a nice story, I think if you like Kentucky Route Zero or other sort of adventure visual novel hybrids, if you like the idea of like an anime, not anime, I guess sort of Japanese animation infused with, or it could be Chinese too, infused with sort of like this Dune, Mass Effect, Star Wars story, I think it's really interesting. And like I may have said, the reviews are like overwhelmingly positive on Steam.
So, sweet.
Yep. And then the last game I'm going to talk about is one I'm actually pretty excited to talk about because it's very weird. It's called Deadcraft.
Reminds me of one of the strangest movies I've ever seen in my entire life. Called What's Dead it called? Girl.
Dead Girl?
Yep. We watched it, and it is the weirdest thing you'll ever see.
I'm not going to look up Dead Girl on Google. I don't want to be put on any lists.
I'll just say, without going too crazy into the weirdness, these two like high school guys find like this abandoned like asylum place that this girl just like strapped up, and they're like, oh, this is weird. And then she's actually alive, and she's not really a girl because she's sort of like a demon, but then they being high school kids, you can think where their minds went, and that's pretty much the plot of the movie there.
That sounds pretty weird.
Yeah, huh? It is the weird. Caitlin and I watched it. I forgot how or why. I think it was one of those like we're looking for something sort of scary and like, oh, this looks weird. And then like one of those when you first start it, you're like, is this really happening? Like, is this the movie? And then you watch the whole thing and you go, oh, yes, it was.
I guess it is.
But anyway, Deadcraft, I'm hoping, is way better.
No, so instead of being a creepy sort of movie, this is instead a surprisingly cool game that has the worst title of all time. Is there a game you want to play less than a video game called Deadcraft?
Yeah, not particularly. Yeah, I wonder if they were fans of Blizzard, like Warcraft, Starcraft, you know, they're like, well, we're just Deadcraft, baby.
Well, okay. It describes itself as a new twist on the zombie survival action genre. Now are you even more bored, like, as you sink into the description of this game?
Yeah, it's sort of just looking at it, right? I guess my first thought would be Borderlands.
Kind of. That's a pretty good description.
I'm watching a little video. That's sort of what is my quick jump to.
Sure. So let me tell you about this one. It has a demo available. It is published by Xseed, and it is developed by Marvelous First, which is the studio that made Daemon X Machina.
Definitely sounded familiar.
Definitely a weird next game for them. They may have developed something in between, but what's so interesting to me about this is that it is a Japanese studio's take on the survival genre and the zombie genre and the post-apocalypse genre, which to me are very more commonly seen, at least in what I see, in like Western developers. So I'm very curious what like the Daemon X Machina developers would come up with this kind of game. And the results are pretty interesting. I've played this one for like an hour and a half, so sort of limited, but there is a demo available. and you sort of are this guy who is nearly beaten to death by these sort of like Mad Max villains. And then you sort of get tossed out into the world. And it's kind of this game where there's a hunger meter, there's a thirst meter, and it is also like similar to Soundfall, third person isometric view, probably like an old school action RPG is kind of the vibe. And it seems to be going for half Mad Max, half The Walking Dead. But I'm using the Japanese voices. I think there's also English voices. It has a very weird, like Fist of the North Star vibe to it too, because it's going for this like uncharacteristically post-apocalyptic sort of vibe. The story so far seems to be like kind of finding your place so far. And this guy's trying to find revenge for the people who beat him up. But it's pretty interesting. So it is a survival game. So in addition to the action gameplay where you can hit enemies with melee weapons, you can shoot them. There is also a sort of thirst and hunger meter. This stuff's been pretty easy to maintain so far. You kind of just, the resources are very common.
If you die, is it something like a roguelite where it's like, oh, you go back to the beginning, or is it like, oh, maybe you just go back to base and you've lost sort of what you gathered?
Exactly. So there's like a skill tree. This is like a linear game. It's not a roguelite.
Okay, cool.
And it's only like $20, I think, too, which is like kind of surprising also for a game from this studio when they made Demon X Machina. But there's a couple things that I like. One is you're half zombie in this game. And that is also a meter that you maintain. And it's the most anime thing. I think you're called like a Ziver. Z-I-V-V-E-R, where you're half zombie.
It sounds dirty. Should I bleep that one too?
Boop! No, so as like a half zombie, he can use like these zombie attacks out of his arm, which have like AoE effects in addition to like the standard like action RPG melee shooting.
That sounds like it'd be a mechanic in a Shin Megami Tensei game,
kind of, but definitely like a Japanese character action game. Like has that vibe to it. So you can sort of do giant attacks and shields with like your sort of zombie stuff, and you can become more zombie or less zombie based on the type of food you eat. And then
I'm gonna eat a little bit more brains here.
Exactly. But there's another mechanic I like, which this game isn't the first to do it, but it's kind of unexpected, is that you can mug other people in the apocalypse. Meaning you can sort of tell them to show you what their belongings, and then you just take stuff from them, or they're like, I'm not scared of you, and then you beat them up for a second, and then they'll give you resources, or you just kill them and take everything in their bag.
What have you been doing?
I've been mugging because there's I've accidentally killed a person. There's a wanted system like GTA where if you kill people, you'll actually get the wanted level up, but that'll disappear if you just lay low for a few minutes. And then people in the town will try to kill you.
That's sort of cool.
But if you mug people, they'll tell you like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to eat tonight. Or they'll tell you something like sad like that. But then you just take their water and flimsy like wood crafting material. And then you're like, see ya. And then it's so basic, but I love when games let you do bad things and implement them in a good way, like where it's actually like kind of fun. I think there's another game called The Big Con coming out, which is like an indie game. And that one has a pickpocketing mechanic, which I'm not a bad guy, but I like these very like mid-tier bad things you can do instead of just killing people. Like I find
I'm
it
not
very
a bad
like,
guy,
fun.
But I like
you
to
can do kind of bad
torture
things
here and there.
Exactly. Like mid-tier bad stuff, I think is like pretty fun and cool in a video game. But I'm intrigued by the story. I think the survival stuff is light enough that I'm not bothered by it. The story is like kind of simple, but over the top and goofy. And I think being like a Japanese take on the Mad Max, and Walking Dead sort of thing is appealing to me. Cause it's like, they're doing it's like, it's the same stuff you've seen a million times, but for the purposes that it's not like a Ubisoft making it or whatever random 505 games or whatever, like random European studio, like mm-hmm. makes these games, to see like the Japanese anime take on it is very enjoyable to me. I thought I wasn't going to go back and play this, but I've turned a corner and like, I don't know if I'm going to play the whole way, but I'm going to play more on my own time. I don't know what the demo has, but I recommend, like, if what I'm saying is interesting, that folks check out the demo.
Boom. Yeah, I love that more. It seems more games are getting demos. I think they've realized, like, the market is so saturated. Like, if we can give away a little something they could try and, like, boom, maybe it'll buy up, you know?
Yep. Yeah, so a couple cool games there to cap it off. And then in a couple weeks, I'm going to be able to talk about KO the Kangaroo, which is coming out in like a week and a half. So boom. I'm excited to talk about that. Anyways.
And then you'll get World of Warcraft on the Steam Deck. There you go.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous. I think with anti-cheat, a lot of that kind of stuff isn't working yet.
I saw someone... They probably went through a whole bunch of hoops to figure it out. But I did see a screenshot of someone playing it. And then it's funny, the top comment was like, because someone was like, oh, the Steam Deck and WoW. And someone's like, you're going to be crazy when you hear about this thing called laptop, dude. You just, you know, play it like that anyway. But sounds like you're loving that Steam Deck, though.
Yeah, and just the other day I talked about this on Discord, but the xCloud, which is like the Game Pass sort of cloud component that you get with Game Pass Ultimate, and I've actually been playing it like quite a bit. I've been playing Trek to Yomi, which I'm not going to talk about, but that's like the 2D samurai game in black and white from Devolver Digital. And it's running great, and I'm curious like if I play like a Bethesda game on there, if that'll run well too. But when I have the good Wi-Fi, I should have access to all those Game Pass games too, which is nice.
Boom. Yeah, then you'll really be playing with power.
Yes, sir. We should take a break, go to poll time.
Sounds good to me. I believe I was teased on two polls. Is this the truth or were you lying?
No, we got two polls today, and it's actually they're two really good ones. One of them is more relevant for the end of the show, but I'm very happy. Actually, I think you played a key role in both of these poll times.
I was just about to toot my own horn till you beat me to it. Yep. Because I was sitting there and I think I was day off, and again, I think I was in that mindset of like, I can't figure out what I want to play. Oh my God, you know? And then I was thinking about, I heard a Mario Sunshine song, and it just brought me back to like getting, like, I remember when that game was coming out, and I remember like, I needed to, like, I remember it was one of those ones, it was one of the earlier games I had pre-ordered, because I remember being like, I need this game. I need to reserve this game or pre-order it. And I was like, but I don't have $50, you know, like, and I remember learning, like, you only need to put $5 down.
Game changer. Ripping off the system.
Yeah. I was like, game changer. And then that was back when they gave like baller pre-order bonuses. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. Like that 2007 to like 2011 period where you were getting like not action figures, but like soundtracks and like good cosmetic DLC.
I remember, I can't remember now what game it was, but getting like the Ocarina of Time, like Majora's Mask, like the collectors with like the Zelda disc with all these Zeldas on it up to that point on GameCube. And I remember mm-hmm. that being like an insane pre-order bonus. I know there was like the Sunshine Towel, like a Sunshine Towel as a pre-order. Just, yeah, they were way cooler back then. But anyway, I just remember being really hyped for that game. And then that's when I was like, let's talk to the Discord. And then that's when you were like, let's roll it into the poll time.
Poll results time.
Boom.
Yep. So, Casey, what was this week's poll time that you basically wrote for us?
Yep. What's the most hyped you've gotten for a video game prior to launch? And a follow-up, did it live up to your expectations? So I guess for me, yeah, in this situation, it was Sunshine, and I'd say it sure did, because that game's amazing. But yeah, we got a whole bunch of responses from this one.
Yep. Mine was Grand Theft Auto 5. Actually,
it's funny because I was gonna go, ooh, a recent one, but I guess that game is like 10 plus years old.
10
right?
years old,
isn't that ridiculous?
It's wild. It's kind of a weird one because I've never been more excited for a video game than Grand Theft Auto 5. I mean, reading the Game Informer cover story when there were good Game Informer cover stories, like. Five times, just looking at the different characters, trying to imagine based on the screenshots whether there'll be poppin', and if so, at what level, and then what the perspective might look like. Watching the six trailers over and over again, because like Grand Theft Auto 4 is just like I think that's like an amazing, amazing game. So of course I was excited for 5. As for whether it lived up, I think so. Because I think Grand Theft Auto 5 is probably also one of my favorite games, and I think it's incredible in a lot of different ways, but it is so difficult to properly evaluate Grand Theft Auto now because of the 165 million sale beast across like 16 different versions in the last like 10 years since it came out. And it's just, we've been so overexposed to it that I'm like, do I still love this game? And I think I still do, but it's one of those weird things that makes you think about it for a second.
You know what? It's going to be so fascinating to see GTA 6 because, right, I like GTA 5 is the only one with this insane multiplayer like this, right? I mean, online, like the other
four
ones,
had online, but it was like
nothing like
it
this.
Was limited. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm curious how much, because I mean, for them, right, they're gonna look at it and go like, oh yeah, we made a ton of money because like the game's amazing, right? But like, look how much money we've made by just making it like the online world where people can go RP and do all sorts of random crap in here. It's like, I wonder how much of that, and I guess more or less, right, that's always sort of GTA game is like, sure, it's got the story they've crafted, but a lot of it comes from just player agency and doing fun, stupid things, and oh yeah, I went and, you know, I got five stars after me and all that. But I'm just curious, yeah, with online being so prevalent, if it's going to be really focused around that, or if they're going to still sort of take a similar approach where it's like, hey, it is about making sure like we've got a robust, great story to tell here, and then also all the groundwork to really sort of let loose. But yeah, that game has been released so many times, but I guess I haven't looked at the sales figures lately, but I remember like back when I was listening to like a podcast that did them a lot, like GTA 5 was always in the top 10, like no matter what, like it just continues to sell copies somehow. It's like, who doesn't have it already? Absurd. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Probably Perry.
Yep. yeah. So we should read some of these. You want to take three and then I'll take three.
Sure.
Go back and forth.
Yeah, that's cool. So Xander chiming in, our good friend Xander Morningstar. As an adult, Super Mario Odyssey, and yes, I really enjoyed it. I heart the sandbox style. As a youth, it's Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. And at the time, it certainly did. King Boo's return, Luigi having a bigger adventure, and the new gameplay mechanics were all very exciting. Yep, Xander loves him some Luigi's Mansion. So I'm glad that Dark Moon at the time held up for him. We got Kevin Morris chiming in with Metroid Prime 4, to be honest. So, yeah, that's a present one, and he might be waiting for a while. And then Estuardo also chiming in with a sweet and to the point Breath of the Wild. Boom. Yeah, you know what? Breath of the Wild was definitely hyped up for me. Right. It had the E3 where literally it was the only game. And I remember thinking, like, man, how could Nintendo do that? And then sure enough, they did. And it was the game, you know. But I also think Breath of the Wild takes it a part of that, the Switch excitement of a new console, too. I mean, that the combo of a new Zelda and a new piece of hardware, which now I guess is somewhat of a norm at this point. And fingers crossed, let's hope it's not the case for Breath of the Wild, too. But yeah, great games. Great games.
Mm-hmm. Lemonade said, probably Splatoon 1. I watched every bit of coverage from that Treehouse Live at E3 and the Nintendo Minute episodes in the Direct. Bought it at launch and played it for 11 hours on day one. Incredible game.
Mm.
I like that Lemonade was excited for this and then came to it. Not that that's like impossible, like it's a Nintendo first party new franchise. But in my case, and I'm guessing a lot of other people's cases, Splatoon 1, you kind of got because it was a Nintendo game and had like a baseline level of excitement and only loved it when like it clicked with you actually playing with it. Because that was my experience.
I remember I played this one at PAX the year it came out or before whatever it came out. And I remember it was great, right? Because obviously 4v4, they had all those big, kiosks set up. And I remember I think I was the highest scoring in my match. And I was like, that's damn right, boys. And I think that was the moment I was like, yeah, I'm into Splatoon. And then Nintendo's like, are you into it enough to buy it 3 times? And I said, no. Not
well,
anymore,
we'll see. We'll see what game you decide to trade Switch Sports in for. Yeah.
Well, I bought that one digital, so it'll be split with me.
I see. From Pseudonym, we got Super Smash Bros. Brawl with a no. Mm. I empathize with that, because like, is there a better trailer for any video game ever than the Solid Snake Showtime Smash Bros. Brawl E3 trailer?
Oh, dude, and just the, I love like the, like, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Not orchestrated, but like the, like opera singing almost, right? Like, oh, I could listen to that all day. And Subspace Emissary, even though not perfect, but fun. I remember with that game, I was in college and I walked to Walmart, which was like a 45-minute walk. Because I was like, I'll be damned if I don't get my copy. And I came home and we played it like midnight. And I remember there's this place called Zonies that all they did was sell big, fat calzones. And you can get anything in there. Like, they had mac and cheese calzones, chicken bacon ranch, like General Tao's. Like, literally anything you could think of, they'd stuff in a calzone and they'd deliver it to you till like 4 a.m. And I remember it was super late. We ordered it like, you know, probably like 2 a.m, you know, we're playing. It didn't get there till like 5 a.m. But they were lucky I was still up playing Brawl. And I was like, normally I would be like, screw you, you know what I mean? Like, I ordered this thing so long ago, it's 5 a.m. But I ate my calzone at 5 a.m. playing Brawl. Yeah, and I think Brawl's a good game, but it's definitely, as far as a competitive fighting game, it's definitely not really there, you know?
Shout out to Brawl for having the last like substantial single player content
R.I.P.
in one of these games.
Wait, you don't like getting the stickers or whatever the heck they are, the little things?
Is there a bigger fraud in modern gaming? The answer is yes. But is there a bigger fraud in modern gaming than Sakurai saying that like they're creating this super ambitious single player mode, but it's just like classic mode or adventure mode in Melee, but like 30 hours instead of 5 minutes and with like a confusing story ending, because I'm pretty sure that's
yeah, it was definitely a mode, you know.
Yep,
for sure.
And then I'll just do to end you with three. I'll say Shybone also said Breath of the Wild delivered. Curvy X said Smash Ultimate, and then Artisan said Super Smash Ultimate. It was really fun until the DLC showed up, but it's mostly because of Min Min, a character from a game I never played. You wanna you wanna grab the last three?
Yes. Good old arm. We've got Fire Guard Austin, Smash Ultimate, probably hard to top that pre-release period. Definitely, I mean, Nintendo knows how to hype up a Smash Bros. Game. There's absolutely no doubt about that. The Shinazi one, Resident Evil 4, I was hyped, and the second it was announced, and yes, it did. And especially being a GameCube exclusive, right? Like, that was like the, that's it. We've got a big boy game coming to our console, you know? And it lived up to the hype.
Let me ask you this. I've actually
been thinking about replaying that game. That should have been on the poll.
I played it a couple of years ago on PC. It still holds up. I mean, the controls are still a little bit weird because it hadn't switched to like the Gears of War style or Resident Evil 7 first person style controls yet, but it still holds up. Let me ask you this. So you're 4 or 5 years older than me at this point. Were you old enough to have pre-release hype for Resident Evil 4 and then play Resident Evil 4 as like that kind of game, or was it like a childhood game for you like it was for me?
So hold on, let me double check. I definitely remember the lead up to it vaguely. Like, I don't remember like sitting there watching a bajillion videos or anything. So it came out in 2005, so I was like 15, 14 or 15, 16, that range. I remember I got into Resident Evil. Let me see. Pure Evil Pack. When did that release? Because I remember getting the Resident Evil Pure Evil Pack, which was Resident Evil and Resident Evil Zero in a like one pack. And I remember playing the crap out of that and like half loving it, half being scared out of my mind. And that released in 2004. So that was probably my hype leading up to 4, was like, we're getting the originals, you know, well, the remake and then Resident Evil Zero. And like getting hyped for it. So I definitely got it and played it around the time it came out too. But I can't remember exactly how much I got into the pre-hype, but I was definitely there, you know?
Got it.
But I also was a scared boy. I liked it, yeah. But I was scared, you know?
There were a couple like weird jump scares in there. The village at the beginning is still like one of the legendary horror moments for me.
Dude, the second you hear those,
like, El Salvador,
you sully your pants, you know. Mom,
mierda.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
Can we swear in Spanish on the podcast?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to for Estuardo. We'll have to. We'll bleep it out.
And then what did Retro Rewired say?
Oh, did I skip one?
I skipped one to squeeze another ultimate in there.
Gotcha. Retro Rewired said it was Halo 3 for me. That was the only game I've ever gone to a midnight release for and took off the next day. And I probably have the most online multiplayer hours in this game compared to any other game I've ever played. Halo 2 and 3, right? I feel like those are usually in the combos for the best. Or at least maybe for the online multiplayer. I remember one of my buddies was huge into one of the original, I forget which one it was, but like he would play the ever living crap out of that game.
I think people like Reach also.
Okay, yeah. I've never Halo, man. It's a shame. I remember playing it at my friend's house. You know, back in the day, he was the rich kid, so he had like, you know, he had a GameCube, he had them all, you know. So it was like that was how I got to play like Halo back in the day, and I remember like, oh, this is fun, but I guess maybe I just wasn't a pure shooter kind of guy back then as much. Not that I necessarily am now, but yeah, I don't know. And yep. It's funny with Game Pass, I could play them all if I wanted to. I just, I don't know what it is. It ain't there.
Yeah, you can play the Yakuza games too, which I recommend more than I recommend the Halo games.
Well, it's funny, I actually, upon my thinking, right, because I was like, if I'm going to start an RPG, what do I want to do? And I've been trying to, and then I was like, I could just, I know Yakuza is like a completely different kind of game than like the ones I'm thinking about, you know, and I've only heard good things, so maybe one of these days.
It's like, Yakuza is like River City Ransom style beat 'em up in 3D with like the wildest Japanese mafia soap opera you've ever seen.
Mm.
It's but it's not like impenetrable like some anime stuff is. It's a very easy watch, and if you go with one, I recommend going with zero. And I think the first time you walk around Kamurocho, if that's the, I think that's the first city you'll end up in, and you'll just like take in the culture that Sega sort of put in, or Team RGG, I guess, put in like into that world, I think that's when you'll know if you're sold or not. Mm-hmm.
It definitely seems like my kind of game, you know, like I definitely like that kind of weirdness. And then like, it's sort of like over the top at parts, right? Like, oh my goodness, right? Crazy situations.
Yes, but you'll get them. But the best is like, it's over the top and you're like, oh my God, this is so goofy. But then you get emotionally invested in everything going on, perfect. Which I think is probably like why some people like pro wrestling. Too,
yeah,
because it's like the
it's
campiness,
stupid, but it's amazing.
But you get emotional at times too. Like it's like, yeah,
it's funny. I actually was watching. Funny you say it. Last night I was watching the good old Hell in a Cell match, 1996 mm-hmm. or 8, with the man with Undertaker and Mick Foley. You remember that one? Were you a wrestling guy?
I haven't, but at PAX East, I was recommended WrestleMania 1 as my first exposure to wrestling.
Oh, well, I guess I can't exactly. I used to be a wrestling guy back in the day, like the Attitude Era, like late 90s, early 2000s. And yeah, mm-hmm. there was one, so a Hell in a Cell match, right? It's like they lower just this giant cage, and I mean it's just a fence, right? Like a fenced in cube, and they put it over the match, you know, over the ring, and you fight in there. And I think the idea is like whoever escapes first or so, you know, whatever. But this one, they start out where they climb on top of the cage, and this is like I said, like 98, where it's like this would never fly today. Like they threw the one guy off the top of the thing and he landed on a table. And he was down and out. Like, they put him on the stretcher. They're rolling him out of there. And then he, like, regains consciousness, jumps off the stretcher. He's like, I'm going back. And then, like a normal, sane person who just got thrown off, like, a 30-foot cage, climbs back up there. And then the Undertaker, one of his famous moves is, like, a choke slam, you know, where he just picks you up by the neck, slams you down. He does that on top. They're both on top of the cage. He goes through the fencing down into the ring, and just like you see him afterwards, like his tooth like broke up through his lip and out his nose, and like and like normally you're like this guy's dead, and he gets up and he keeps going, and then to end the match he puts like a huge bag of thumbtacks down, and then he gets slammed onto that as well. A true madman. Mick Foley,
that's
dude.
That's awesome.
It's like a 15-minute video, and like they interject like their opinions onto it. It's a very interesting watch. And just like, yeah, something that would definitely never happen today.
Very nice.
But anyway, yes, this is a Nintendo podcast. We did mention two polls, didn't we?
Yep. We won't do another. We won't do another song.
Yeah.
Just...
well, I was gonna say yeah. But when you were talking about Yakuza, I was gonna say, well, that might be a game for a couple weeks down the road, because I believe we're figuring out our next game right now.
You know, it'd be so funny. So it's there's no Yakuza games on Nintendo consoles, but it'd be very funny if we didn't. I demand you for like a PlayStation version of or a PC version of Yakuza.
We could, although I don't think we'd get Jerry on board.
No, unlikely. I think there might be cursing in it, even in another
oh,
language.
Yeah, we don't want that. His pure All ears. Right.
For episode 300, we're gonna be having a really big episode. It's gonna be We're going to do a huge listener mail. We're going to be doing this I Demand You, which is the poll time was for. And we're going to be doing a regular episode in addition to that. So it's probably going to be two and a half, three hours long.
She'll be ultimately a beefy gal for sure.
She'll be a
beefcake.
Big, beautiful podcast, a BBP. See, how much fun can we have with Perry unable to police us?
Although Perry would never in a million years get like a PPC joke, you know, or a BBC, whatever.
BBW?
Yeah, or, yeah, BBC, BBW, any of these, he would be like...
Whatever the
acronyms.
Adult acronyms. He'd be like, what's that? And then we'd be like, we'll explain after the show.
Why don't you just Google it? Bing that one up. That's what my dad, he'll... Like, most people are like, oh, you got to Google that? He'd be like, oh, we got to Bing it up. I'm like, oh, my God, Dad. I didn't know guys like you existed. Bingers.
Anyways, we're doing a poll time to choose what game we're playing for the I Demand You for 300, which is in 3 weeks. And we kind of have, like, a Wii-themed one, which kind of happened by complete accident, I think.
I blame Jerry's complete misunderstanding of my suggestion for this.
Yeah, and in fact, I love that I chose the worst longer Zelda game as the one that we would play for this. For no reason other than I have a copy of the HD version of this game that I need to play. That's it.
It's funny because I almost bought it that day and I was like, nah, I'll probably never play it. And now I'm gonna be one of those Jimmies that overpaid.
Yeah, well, it's funny because this is the game you picked. So, we had three games to talk about. And just because we picked one of these doesn't mean we can't go back to the other ones later. But
nope, they're officially done forever.
They're banned.
There are no more heroes.
The three games were Red Steel 2, No More Heroes, and Zelda Skyward Sword.
And to Zelda the shock of nobody.
Zelda 1, I even tried putting it in the third place to try to give Red Steel 2, like, a fighting chance, and No More Heroes in the middle, because I thought that would get, like, some. I thought that'd be, like, a safe second choice, but to my surprise, Red Steel 2 got second place with 34% of the vote, and No More Heroes only 22% of the vote. Although I'm glad we didn't get Red Steel 2, because, like, I'd have to get a $20 used copy on Amazon. I'd have to re-plug in my Wii U.
Yeah, it would have been... Well, so my idea here for the listeners was we each pick a game, and it'd be like a big tentpole game, right? Like, obviously, when we do the I Demand Use, it's like, we try and usually pick maybe a game we haven't played or something, but we're thinking 300. We want a big, popular game people have played that they don't... You know, obviously, we'd welcome and we love anyone who wants to dive into some Skyward Sword. Send us in, you know, either email, Twitter, over on Discord, or thoughts, and be part of the show. We would love that. But, like, the idea was, like, hey, most people have played Skyward Sword, even if it was years ago, they'd be able to relate, right? So it's like, those kinds of games. And then Perry's like, Little Nightmares! I'm like, no, dude, that's not what we're talking about. And then, like, yours, like, No More Heroes, I think, qualifies, because it's like, No More Heroes, that was a wild Nintendo game, right? Like, you thought
there were controversies over whether it should be on the family-friendly Wii.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, my thought, I actually suggested Red Steel 1, because that was, like, a game when it came, like, when you saw those previews, it was like, oh my god, this is what the Wii is about, you know? You're, like, slicing, dicing, shooting, having a great time. And then Perry's like, I'm gonna pick Red Steel 2, though. And I was like, okay, then. That is a game. Honestly, I knew Zelda was going to win. That's why I was thinking maybe someone would have like a Metroid, like maybe Metroid Prime, Skyward Sword, you know,
right?
Whatever. And then it'd be tough. Honestly, we probably should have put Link to the Past as a fourth option, so that way the Zeldas would cannibalize themselves and it'd be a little closer. But
yeah,
I think like you said, Skyward Sword. The reason, so I always said Skyward or Link to the Past. Link to the Past was my easy, played it a million times game. But I've only played Skyward Sword once through when it came out. So it's one of those games where, yeah, I'm going to have to go pick it up. But I am excited to play it. A lot of it's going to be fresh for me. And I think it is one of those games that has lots of wiggle room to talk about the wabi-sabi, right? And the good and the bad and And I think it'll be a good play along.
And I think it's the kind of thing where, because I know they made some improvements to the structure, I think it could go either way. I think it could go, oh man, this is really good, and I think it got a bad rap. Or, man, why did I love this game in 2010? This is this is garbaggio. But I could see it going either way, and since I got that copy of the Switch one, I'm going to play it in handheld. I'm going to use the thumbstick sword slashing.
Ooh. It reminds me of playing Super Mario 64 DS. Remember that when you put the strap around your thumb? Do you remember that? And you'd use it as like a little like makeshift analog stick. But yeah, Skyward Sword I think is going to be a good one. Like I said, I know for me, I haven't played it since the original run. And I even remember then like playing it and then like, I remember like almost stopping and I was like, what the heck am I doing? This is like a mainline Zelda game. And then I remember playing through it and really enjoying the rest of it. So yeah, I think it's gonna be a good game. Like I said, anyone who wants to join in on the convo, you hit it, you know, hit us over on Twitter, Discord, or you can send in the good old email as well. But yeah,
if we remember, we should actually make our own channel for this game on Discord so people can play along, I guess.
I could do that. Yep, that'll be easy peasy. Yeah, I think, like I said, it should be good, and we'll do a nice little combo on 300 about it. And I can't believe 300 just right around the corner.
Yep, it'll be, what, my 56th, 57th episode,
so
which is...
What, 7, 8, 9... So I think we record it June 7th.
Okay.
Will be the day.
Nice.
Boom. Very so nice. I'm going to have to pick up my copy, get to work. Like I said, it actually works out well because being a guy who has not been able to pick out what game he wants to play. Thank you. Thank you, poll time.
All right. That's our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening to Talk Nintendo Podcast. You can find us over on Twitter at twitter.com/TalkNintendoPod. That's Talk Nintendo.
P-O-D.
You can also join us on Discord, and you can support the site that supports our show on Patreon. That's patreon.com/NWR. That's patreon.com/NWR. Rate us on iTunes. Give us
five
kisses.
Only.
Five only.
Tweet at Perry and tell him he smells like a big old turd burger.
Any extra stars you can give to the Propane
stars.
Maniacs when it finally gets its own feed. Anyways,
please,
that's our
more
show.
Stars, sir.
Sorry, I had six stars. I loved both, but I only have one extra to give.
I couldn't split them up, so you get one.
All right, you crazy kids, have a great night. Bye.
Poodles. Each one was so good and continued to get better. And then, my God, what happened? Ugh! I would like to take whoever made the game and just shake them a little bit, you know? Like, why? Why?